Hello, everyone. My name is RJ Macbeth, and no, you are not tuned to the wrong station. This is Moonlight Radio. It is my pleasure to guest host today for Jess, Amy, and Ashley. Hopefully one of them or two of them may be calling in at some point. It is Sunday, August 10th, 2008, and this is Moonlight Radio. Today we have a very special guest, Gideon Emery. For those of you who don't recall, Gideon Emery played Donovan Shepherd, a very memorable character on Moonlight. And we appear to be having a few issues today with Blog Talk Radio. Hold on. I believe we have Gideon on the line. Just a moment, please. Hello, is this Gideon?
It is. How you doing?
Welcome, Gideon. This is RJ Macbeth, and you are on Moonlight Radio. Thank you so much.
No, cool. It's a pleasure.
Now, just in case you're a little confused, Amy, Ashley, and Jess are not here. I'm guest hosting. Typically,
right, you're on a sister station, as it were.
Right, that's correct. But unfortunately, Amy had a family emergency, so she cannot be here. I'm hoping that Jess and Ashley will be able to call in. So thank you so much again for doing this. There is someone holding. I'm just going to double-check who that is, if you can bear with me for a moment here.
Sure.
All right. 718, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. This is Trinity.
Hi, how are you doing today, Trinity?
Thank you. I'm just going to listen, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely. Oh. I'll put you back on hold.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, great. All right, now, I have a bunch of questions I want to ask you, starting with the fact that you are not American, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, so can you give us a little background on where you're from?
Yeah, well, I was originally born in the UK. And then I moved to South Africa with my parents when I was a kid.
What age was that?
Four.
Okay.
And then I went back for a little bit of high school and then returned to South Africa. So I lived most of my life in South Africa. I grew up in Johannesburg. And then I moved to LA about 4 years ago.
Wow. What was that like, living in Johannesburg? A melting pot, or is it much like anywhere else?
I mean, it's very specific. I mean, I think any African country is, in its way. You know, it is a beautiful country. It really, really is. Johannesburg is I suppose not as postcard picturesque as Cape Town, where you've got the beaches and Table Mountain and that sort of thing. But it is still beautiful. It's one of the most treed cities in the world. So if you're flying over Joburg, you know, there's just a lot of green. And yeah, it's fabulous. I mean, you know, the people are great and stuff. And funnily enough, I actually had a real taste of nostalgia this last few days because I got to narrate an audiobook, which is an audiobook version of a new Nelson Mandela biography, which is coming out. So I got to kind of sort of revisit so South Africa's history and stuff from the lead up to Mandela's release from prison and then his move to becoming president. So yeah, pretty exciting stuff. And great country. If you get a chance to go there, I absolutely recommend it.
I've actually met a lot of people from South Africa recently, so it's got me thinking. It might be a place to go. Now, living there, did it give you the opportunity to learn other languages, or?
Well, yeah, I'm a bit bad because I should really be sort of multilingual. when I went to school, we all had to learn Afrikaans, which is the white South African language, if you like. I mean, you know, English is spoken widely, obviously, but the Afrikaans population who are descended from Dutch settlers, their language is Afrikaans, and so we all had to learn that at school, which is not fantastically useful on a global stage, except I suppose if I went to Holland, I might be able to
get by,
order a cup of tea or something like that. Yeah,
right.
And otherwise, no, I didn't learn any black languages. The primary school I went to, they didn't teach them, and then when I went to high school, I've missed the first 2 years of Zulu, which was one of the black languages they taught. So I didn't join. I couldn't join that. But yeah.
Ah, okay.
There are as a point of trivia, 11 official languages in South Africa.
Right, this I'm aware of. I recently met someone from South Africa, and you know, obviously, he speaks Afrikaans, and he speaks like 8 other dialects, and then you know, some European languages as well. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, okay. But he said once you pick up one of the dialects, you can it helps you with the others. So I don't know. Anyway, speaking of language. Obviously, you were very established in South Africa as an actor and also for voice work, is that correct?
Yeah, I did a lot of commercial voiceovers there, yeah. So I'd done a good few thousand, actually, before I left. So, yeah, I was very fortunate there. I started doing voiceovers in my final year of drama school. By the time I left drama school, I was kind of, you know, nicely working along, and then I got to do, you know, TV stuff and the odd movie here and there, but voiceover was basically my bread and butter.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of nice because, especially with commercial work, you don't have to put a face to a product, it's your voice, so...
Yeah, and I mean, you're in for so brief a period of time anyways, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you go in and a lot of times for commercial stuff, at least back there, you know, you're not even there for an hour, you know, you might be in there for, you know, best part of half an hour and you're gone. What I really enjoyed coming here to LA is getting involved in video game voiceovers, because then you kind of really get to put more of the acting into it, whereas, you know, commercial VOs tend to be pretty dry, you know, unless, you know, once in a while there's a sort of a comedic one, but my kind of thing used to be these sort of dry tagline deliveries.
And is that something that you just had an aptitude for, or do you think your training helped?
I think the training helped. I mean, I think it also helped the fact that I was from the UK, and you know, my voice is pretty much the same as my dad. So I think in terms of, you know, pitch and, you know, timbre and whatever, it's good, you know, for radio. So I was quite fortunate in terms of that, but also the fact that it was sort of more English sounding. Kind of gives it like a little bit of an edge and stuff, and so those qualities, you know, were in demand when I was doing voice. So I was fortunate. But yeah, I mean, I went to drama school for 4 years, and you know, had voice training and whatnot, and we had radio for a bit in the first year and stuff. So I think,
wow,
you know, all these things conspired to my success there. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So what region of Britain is your father from?
My dad's from Dorking in Surrey.
Okay.
I was born in Windsor.
Yeah, I was just trying to place the accent. I was figuring somewhere more southerly.
I was born in Windsor, although we lived in Maidenhead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Berkshire. when I went back, I went to Reading Bluecoats School briefly.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. It was pretty brief, but yeah.
Yeah, but even so, to have access to an excellent education like that.
Yeah, no, I was very fortunate, yeah.
Yes, okay. So let's fast forward then to the decision to move to LA. What was the catalyst for that?
Basically, you know, being an actor in a country like South Africa, it's you're kind of isolated. I mean, you know, the country was certainly isolated during the years of apartheid. And, you know, in terms of the product that we got, there wasn't a great deal of overseas products. You know, we'd get American sitcoms and we'd get some British stuff. But, you know, a lot of it wasn't great stuff. And then also the film industry there is still not on a par with, you know, like the Australian industry, where they've really managed to get a lot of their products overseas, you know, and outside their borders, and we're still kind of growing and discovering what works and what doesn't. And I just kind of got to a point where, you know, I really wanted to work on the kinds of shows that are being made here in the US, you know. stuff like, you know, 24, and you know, they've just got such a high standard of writing, and the production values are so, so very high, you know, because they've got the budget for it, and obviously this is where the bulk of the stuff's generated. So I figured always that it would be fun to check it out, but it was only kind of after working for, I suppose the best part of a decade in South Africa that I thought, okay, stuff it, you know. Let me give it a go, and I'll apply, you know, and see if I can get in, you know, get my green card, and at least then I can start the process and forget about it. And you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And fortunately, I got my green card, and I was like, right, well, let's go over, let's check it out, you know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say, I'm kind of the mind that I'd rather, you know, come and fail brilliantly than, you know, than never give it a go kind of thing. I didn't want to. I knew, I was very clear in my mind that I didn't want to wake up sort of 10, 20 years down the line, sort of sitting on my balcony somewhere thinking, what if, you know, but now it's too late to give it a go, so.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, you're actually quite fortunate in as much that you already had a great resume coming over, unlike a lot of people, you know, they come over with stars in their eyes, starting from scratch. Did that help you in any way?
Well, I would say kind of yes and no, because in terms of great resume, I would say I definitely had some experience because I've worked for a while. But in terms of credits, you know, a lot of those credits were credits that weren't familiar to people here. And, you know, when you're coming to a city like L.A. where everyone's trying to get ahead, you know, tooth and nail, a lot of people lie on their resumes about what they've done. And you know, I mean, I say a lot of people. It doesn't mean the bulk of people, but you know, obviously, people will try what they can to get ahead. And for me, I'm coming with a resume filled with credits nobody's heard of. So I mean, they could be BS, really, you know, for all anyone knows. So I'd worked on one co-production, which was a BBC series. So I had that. So that kind of jumps out. But and a couple of visiting American things which had shot in South Africa, but by and large they were credits nobody had really heard of, and that was, I do believe that was an obstacle when I first arrived, but also the fact that, you know, I'm moving, you know, I'm over 30 and I'm, you know, trying to come here and break in, and it's definitely, you know, would probably be easier if I was, you know, 21 and gorgeous to get into rooms and get representation, because then they wouldn't, you know, credits wouldn't matter so much. But then by the same token, I wouldn't have been in the right mindset, you know, and wouldn't have had a little bit of experience and you know, paid some dues to be in a place to actually stick it out. Not that I was 21 and gorgeous when I was 21, but...
Well, you bring up a really good point. This is something that I've been wondering about. I am from an acting background, and I walked away from it and chose to raise a family. But of course, you know, I always have questions. Oh, did I do the right thing? And of course, when I look at my children, I think so. But at the same time, there's always that, you know, that gnawing at me all the time, because it's something that I love and I feel like it's something that I have to do. But you know, I mean, now I'm the wrong side of 30, and I certainly don't look like, I don't know, whoever's popular these days in Hollywood. You know, some of those young things that walk around with blonde hair and gorgeous skin and all that stuff.
And I'm sure you're all the better for it.
Oh, well, I think so, but I do wonder whether that would be the case if I chose to pursue something like that. So I was wondering if age was a barrier, and then...
I think it is. I mean, look, I am extremely fortunate that I'm a guy, you know. I think for women it is 100 times worse. You know, when you watch most television as well, I mean, unless it's a Desperate Housewives or something like a Grey's, which is, you know, seems to be very evenly, you know, dealt across the gender line, it's, you know, it's still male-dominated, the roles out there. And also it's... You know, I'm also lucky in a way that I'm a character actor. So, the older I get and the more craggy I look, there'll still be, you know, there are still roles out there. You know, I can always be the bad guy or the creepy old guy or, you know, the craggy
yeah.
old neighbor sort of thing. And
there
you know,
I think less character roles for women, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at sort of roles, you know, sort of over 50, for over 50 women in Hollywood, you know, they're few and far between. And then if you're not Meryl Streep or Diane Keaton, you know.
Right, or Joan Plowright or someone like that, yeah.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's like, what chance do you stand kind of thing, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, look, it is a crazy, crazy numbers game. And you know, I do have to remind myself that it is a choice. It's not like I woke up one day and suddenly here I was and it was something I had to deal with. So yeah, you've got to kind of treat it with a pinch of salt. Also, I mean, in terms of, you know, you talking about having the pangs to return to acting and stuff, you know, you can always produce your own stuff, you know.
Well,
you know,
that,
shoot
that
a short
had always
or something,
been,
just to kind of give
yeah.
you a little kind of taste of that. Like right now, because this year's been a funny year, post-writer's strike and pre, you know, this imminent SAG strike, and is it going to happen, is it not going to happen? And, and like pilot season was really fractured this year, and I was really looking forward to it because I thought I could, you know, get going on some momentum I picked up last year. And like right now, I've written a couple of shorts, and I really want to shoot one of these things. And the guy who was going to shoot it, the cameraman, has now told me he's got some gig, and he's off away, and I'm thinking, stuff it. Right, I've got to shoot this thing before the end of next month. It's going to happen, you know, come hell or high water. So I've just got to go out there and get that, get it together
right.
and do it, because, yeah, otherwise it'll never happen.
Well, this is true. The fact that you had your training in South Africa, I had my training in Australia, because I was born in Britain, but when I was 10, we moved to Australia. And yes, I know this show isn't about me, but I'm getting to a point.
That's fine. That's good.
But it was a case of, through that training,
yeah.
I went into it with the mindset that, okay, well, if I want to work, then I'm going to have to create that work, because chances are, you
right.
know, 99% of the time, actors are not working, are not full, you know, full-time employed. So.
Sure.
I'd always had that mindset, so it's really great to hear that, you know, that's sort of where you're leaning, saying, okay, well, the stuff I do want to do and the stuff, you know, creatively that I want to do. So it's really
yeah, you know. I mean, look, there's always cases of I'm actually going to nuke something on the microwave here. I don't have a kettle, so I'm going to make myself a delicious instant coffee. What on earth was I going to say now? Yeah.
Are we talking about, you know, creatively, you know,
creating
oh, yeah.
your own work? There's always the, you know, the possibility in this town that, you know, someone's going to spot you in a coffee shop, you know, that sort of thing. Or the catch that one fleeting TV appearance, you know, and suddenly go, oh, that's who I need. That's who I need for this role, you know.
Right.
But obviously it's such a crapshoot that, you know, you can't do that. I mean, what frustrates me is you know, actors who sit in coffee shops and moan about the state of things, but they're not, you know, trying to pursue opportunities themselves, you know. And I think if you can't afford in this town to give it less than 110% by, you know, submitting yourself for stuff and trying to find breakdowns and trying to meet new people and try to generate your own stuff and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you have an agent? And if you do, was it difficult to find one when you first got here?
that's kind of interesting. So when I arrived here, I knew all of two people, a couple, one of whom was or is a South African, and she was a good friend of mine back in South Africa. And funnily enough, she introduced me to the immigration lawyer that I went through. And so apart from her and her husband, or soon-to-be husband, I didn't know anyone else.
Wow.
So literally, I went to, you know, the Samuel French bookstore, and I got my book of the agencies, the talent agencies in town, and I made a list, and I crossed off, you know, the main William Morris's and the ICMs and Endeavors and those sort of people.
Right.
Made myself a nice list of about 30 agencies, mid-level, and I sent them this package, which was a headshot and resume, and then I had some reviews, and I did a fair amount of theater in South Africa, and so I had some really great reviews, and I even highlighted the super, you know, Gideon was fabulous in this role, whatever, blah, blah, sections. And then I included with that a self-addressed stamped postcard with boxes that they could tick. And one box would say, please send me a showreel. And the other box would say something like, thanks, but no thanks. And then the last one, I think, said something like, get a decent haircut, fool. So I figured, you know, I mean, you know, tongue-in-cheek, whatever, and at the very least they can just go, you know, tick one of the things and just shove it in their outbox.
Right.
Well, anyway, I got one postcard back on which they'd scrawled full client list, which, you know, obviously meant, well, they're not seeing anyone at the moment kind of thing, which is fine, you know. But none of the others came back, and that was the end of that, and nobody called me. And then probably three months after that, one of those agents I'd submitted to called me up, and then I met with them, and then we watched they watched my showreel, and they were like, okay, good, yeah, we'd like to sign you. I didn't really know much about them, and I signed with them, and then in 5 months I had one audition. So I let them go after 6 months, and then sort of went on my own for a bit, you know. And I used to submit myself for projects for about 8 months. I did that. I started getting the breakdowns on my own, my policy was, if I found something on the breakdowns for television, a television role that was very specifically me. Because what's great here is that the casting is so, so specific. So you've really got to be spot on for that thing. Because, you know, I think as actors we kind of leave drama school thinking, you know, I can play anything. You know, I mean, I played Salieri in Amadeus at the age of, you know, 21, which is absurd, obviously. But it's a drama school production, and, you know, you get to stretch yourself and play different roles. But, you know, you very quickly realize in a town like L.A. where it is so specific. Even down to stuff like commercials casting, where, you know, if they want a plumber, they want real plumbers. Or if they want an auctioneer, you've got to be a real auctioneer. Or an actor who is an auctioneer in his day job sort of thing.
That's crazy.
It's kind of bizarre with some of these things. If I could find a role that was, you know, really specific that I felt strongly about that I could, you know, really deliver, I'd put together a headshot and resume, and then I would aim to hand deliver it to the studio or the casting office by lunchtime the following day. And I figured if I did that, I could get there at least at the same time as the agents had messengered their clients' headshots over, probably before. So I figured I'd probably be in the mix. So I did that for a couple of months, and I sent, you know, dropped a bunch of these things over. But I also knew that when they opened the thing, if they did open it, even if, first off, they've got to take a shine to your headshot and go, oh, okay, he might be suitable for that role. And then, you know, if they flip it over and you're not with an agent, well, why aren't you with an agent?
Right.
You know, it doesn't reflect well on you, even if it's, well, okay, I haven't met the people yet and blah, blah, blah. You know, they're not going to, why would they waste their time? They're getting, you know, 1,000 of these a week. And, you know, they've got to draw the line somewhere to try and make their jobs a little easier. But remarkably, one of the ones I dropped off at was the casting office for Commander-in-Chief, and the show with Gina Davis where she plays a president.
Right, we watched that and enjoyed it, and then they took it off the air.
They did, yeah. You never know, yeah. And hello, yeah, Moonlight. But I hand delivered that, and then probably about, I was literally driving away from that office, and I got a couple blocks away, and I'm at a traffic light. And I literally got a phone call from the office saying, we'd like to bring Gideon in this afternoon for an audition.
Oh,
so, yeah, so I was like, well, miracles happen. And I happened to get the gig. And, you know, there was my first American credit in L.A. for an American TV show, which was my first of those. And, you know, so that was good. And then, ultimately, through a friend, I met a manager who was really passionate and stuff, but... She was also, I think she was more passionate than anything else. She wasn't as connected as I would have liked her to be. She was also conservatively in her late 70s. And she was really fabulous. I mean, the first time I met her, she was like, well, have you got a lot of credits? Do you have a lot of credits? She literally did talk like that. And I was like, well, I don't know what a lot of credits is, but, you know, I'll send you a headshot resume, and you can check it out. Anyway, now ultimately I signed with her, and she was fab. But I got out very, very infrequently. But I would always, I'd go and meet her and touch base and say, you know, how can I make your job easier and stuff? And she'd always start the conversation by telling me how well her other clients were doing. And she'd be like, you know, John just booked this great role on CSI. And Mary, you know Mary? No. Yeah, you do. Anyway, Mary just booked this movie.
Yeah.
And it was quite extraordinary. You know, these people really exist. You know, it sounds like a parody, but they do. So, yeah, I've kind of moved on through a couple of people, and right now I'm with a great agent, and, you know, they get me out, and they get me into rooms, which is great. But it's you've got to find your fit, and I think, you know, two people with the same representation won't have the same experience necessarily.
That makes sense.
And I think what I do miss to a degree is the... I suppose, in a way, the intimacy of the relationship that, you know, one would have in a smaller town. And I think of my agent in South Africa, you know, I'd be speaking to them on a daily basis. But there, you know, they rep you for everything, you know, voice, theatre, and...
Right.
And
here you have to have separate agents, right?
Yeah, you know, so it's a different sort of thing. And obviously here they're repping a great many more clients as well. So,
right.
So it's busy, busy stuff. And... you know, I'm just sort of happy to find myself in a place where I think they get me and get what I'm about and the kind of roles I'm both interested in and sort of suitable for, which is great, you know. But it takes a while to find that, and I think that's the thing in this town, is that it takes a great deal of patience, you know, just in sticking it out. You know, you've got to give it your 110%, but then at the same token, things kind of happen in their own time.
Right.
And so, you know, if you persist, you know, hopefully you'll get those breakthroughs, but you can't force it. And it's not linear. You know, it's like I went into a voice casting director, and it was the first time I'd met them, and I went in and read for this thing, and then they booked me for the gig, and it ended up being an ongoing campaign. Which was great, but then I didn't get back to see that casting person again for probably a year.
Wow.
So it's not like you book that thing and then you're getting back regularly, sort of thing.
Developing relationships.
Yeah, it's a slow sort of process, and I think until you're certainly as an actor, until you're like a series regular on something, you're still sort of, you know, fiddling around the periphery. But it's all relative. You know, I mean, I consider myself to have been very, very fortunate in the progress I've made while I've been here. But it's a crazy little town.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's an amazing insight, because, you know, we don't often get to hear about everything, you know, from a fresh set of eyes, I guess. So it's good to hear fact and, you know, your impressions of it. So. Certainly interesting. Actually, it's funny, there are some people in the chat room, especially when you were talking about agents, were saying that you're a riot. But then someone also said, he scares me. Do you get that reaction at all since your Moonlight role?
No, look, nobody, I mean, nobody's going to recognize me on the street from anything I've done yet. So, no, but I do... In terms of the scary things, like, I've always wanted to play baddies. I mean, when I was younger, I did have this fantasy of being James Bond. That was firm in my brain from about the age of 8, which, you know, probably in the brain of most boys.
Well, I'm a girl, and I had the fantasy of playing James Bond.
Well, there you go, you see. So it's a universal thing. But
yeah.
But I did kind of sort of move out of that. And when I started acting... I was always the young, because I always used to look quite a bit younger than I was. I was always this little baby-faced kid. And so I would be I was the rookie member of this Delta Force team, and then I was the young, inexperienced cowboy in this Western, ironically shot in Johannesburg. And those were the kind of sort of, they were sort of naive, innocent roles, if you like. And then somehow I leapt from that to playing. Kind of since I've moved here, I think obviously it's just the way they see me here, or how they see me here, is this an edgier kind of guy. But I think as I've gotten older and I've kind of grown into my face, as it were,
right.
Those are the kind of roles I get in on. And I mean, I laugh because I write a blog.
Are you there, Gideon? Oh, looks like the weather is playing games with us here. Hang on. Oh, this is bizarre. We've lost him. Gideon, if you are still on the line, we cannot hear you. Wow. I don't know. I want to say I'll be glad when summer's over, so that all these storms will be over. But you know what? Then we'll have winter and we'll have storms then. So what can I do? I don't know. All right. Okay. You know what? I'm going to bring on, hopefully it's Jess. Let's try this. Is that you, Jess?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, Jess. It's RJ. How you doing?
Hi, RJ. Thanks for filling in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Listen, we've lost Gideon, apparently.
I heard. I was listening for the last 10 minutes. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
he sounds so great.
He is, and I want you to talk to him. You know what? Right now, he's still connected, but we can't hear him. So I'm going to go ahead and hang up on him, and hopefully he'll call back.
Okay.
All right.
So what's happening? I know we didn't get Ashley. She sent me a text message late last night saying
right.
She wasn't going to be able to make it, and
yeah,
Amy's phone is not the most...
Too. And Amy's got that family emergency,
mm-hmm.
So. And I can't even hang up on Gideon.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Moonlight Radio is cursed.
Oh, my goodness, I'm trying. Hang in with me, everyone. Oh, help.
I do want to see if when he gets back on the phone, if he would be kind enough to record like Jordan
yes,
and Trevor have done
twice now, once by Amy, once by Ashley. I'm gonna make sure that he does.
Wonderful.
Oh, goodness, hang on.
Yes, and I'm actually calling from the Renaissance Fair, and it looks like a storm is coming in over here. So hopefully I won't lose any connections either.
I hope not. Yeah, we've got
mm-hmm.
thunder going, and looks like Trinity was disconnected and called back. So I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to hang up her previous call. Oh, gosh.
Welcome to Moonlight Radio, RJ.
Yeah, the show is cursed. Oh, my gosh.
Now you know why we're always running around with chickens without our heads, because we're like, yeah, we lost the switchboard.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is terrible. I hope Gideon calls back. Oh, my goodness. Otherwise, what are we going to do?
Oh, that would be so horrible if he was there and we lost him.
It was getting interesting.
It was getting very interesting. And he does his cute little laugh that it's funny and creepy at the same time.
I know. The laugh that he just did it when you sort of went...
Yes.
I was like,
yeah.
Ah!
It was a gorilla. Do it again.
Oh, my goodness. I don't... And I'm not sure that he was, even connected to the computer or anything. Gideon,
yeah, most of them don't realize that there is a chat room that they can log on to. But, so I don't know that he even knows that.
Yeah, we have a 718 caller, but that's Trinity. And I've got it on two lines, apparently, because I can't hang up the other line.
I'm wondering if there's an issue with the switchboard, because sometimes that happens when the switchboard freezes.
Yeah, maybe I...
Hit refresh. Can you refresh the switchboard?
Okay. Amy said she hasn't left yet, and she's going to get Jason to see what's wrong. Yay!
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio Jason.
Amy to the
rescue. Again.
And, yes, if everybody could keep Amy and her family in their prayers, they're going through family. They had a death in the family, and so it's a rough time for them right now.
Yeah. So this is really weird because, like, last week I logged in and I'm thinking, I don't hear Jordan Belfi. Maybe he's already been on and I missed it. because I, you know, logged in towards the end of the show because obviously I was on vacation. And then I check the mail and I get this email from him and frantic emails from you guys. It's like, oh, no, this is not good. And it's only because I happened to be able to log in that I was able to, you know, spot that. Fortunately, he did call back. And then today, it was about 10 minutes before your show was about to start. I thought, maybe I should just check my mail. And then
thank goodness you did.
I got all these emails from Amy. I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. And fortunately today I was able to do this because normally I'm not. But I just wish the switchboard issue would get sorted out. I can't hang up on a caller. I can't, like, mute them or bring them on or anything. Now, what would happen if I were to X out the switchboard and then bring it back? Because I've never actually done that while I'm on a show.
You'd probably have to. Well, I would still be broadcasting. You'd have to log out and log back in again.
Okay.
So you'd have to hang up. Yep.
Oh, okay.
You'd have to hang up and call back in as the host. And I believe, no, you can still stay on and try to log out of the system and log back in again.
All right, well, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm sorry if I disconnect anyone. Please call back. The call-in number is 718-508-9440. So just bear with me for a second here. Technical difficulties on Moonlight Radio.
As usual.
With the territory, apparently.
Yes, yes.
So just bear with me for a second here.
Okay.
And Amy's saying that's what I should definitely do. So just bear with me for a second here. I'm typing and talking at the same time.
That's very talented because I always have a problem with that.
Yeah. Actually, Amy, if you can just, because I X'd out of our chat earlier, could you just email me the password, message me the password again, please. Oh, no, apparently I'm still here. I mean, you're still here. Okay, let me get back into switchboard. Let's try this again. Sorry, guys, this is a... Oh, we have Gideon. Yay, just a second here. Here we go. Gideon, are you there?
I am.
We lost you.
I was merely chatting to myself for about 7 minutes, and then I paused for you to come in. I was like, hello. I was like, oh, bugger. But then I've been repeatedly trying to call back in, but kept getting the engaged tone, and then I'm desperately trying to log in so I could chat. That was about the best I could offer. But yay, I'm back. Good.
Well, thank you so much. And you know what? I'm having so much fun talking to you because you're talking about the engaged tone and people ticking boxes. It's just wonderful. I'm enjoying all this Anglo. I'm an Anglophile. Anyway, we have Jess on the line, who is one of the hosts of Moonlight Radio. So I'm going to shut up and let her talk to you for a while, okay?
All right.
Hello, Gideon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm sorry I was late to the show.
No problem.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk with us. And I know you must be very busy, but I wanted to say that I really, and a lot of us who are Moonlight fans, have caught your performance on the episode, and we really, you were very effective in creeping us out. So thank you for scaring us.
Well, I did my job then. Good.
Yeah. Yes, you did a very good job. And it's very funny because I was listening in as you were talking about how none of the roles that you've really played would allow you to be really recognized on the street. And that's very true. That was one of the first things that Amy and Ashley and I said when we went looking for, you know, a regular picture of you to feature on the front page. It was just amazing that how much of a transformation there was that I wouldn't have recognized you on the street.
That wig was something else, I must say. I think the wig was as scary as anything else on the show. they pinned that thing to my head like nobody's business. I mean, that was not coming off. It's a little creepy. I have a shot they took of me, just like the sort of the hair and makeup test, and it's just so. I find it disturbing seeing myself like that. Cause I was also quite thin there. I'd lost a little bit of weight, and and you know, it just looked quite grim. So yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think that's a look for like a first date or anything like that.
And actually, Amy was filling in. Amy and Ashley weren't able to make it today, but we were doing some research on your back history and the previous performances that you've done. And she had mentioned to me that you've done a lot of voiceover work for videos, video games, and things like that. And I think she mentioned that you were on Halo. Is that true?
Well, there's a new one called Halo Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was a character on that, a couple of characters on that, so yeah.
Now, do you prefer doing voiceover work, or do you prefer doing actual live-action, live-action?
I like acting, so, you know, if
either way.
Either way, I mean, stuff, you know, if it's commercial voice work, that sort of stuff, it's not really voice acting.
Right.
I mean, stuff like games really, and I'm pretty new to gaming, you know, just the last couple of years, but I've got to play, you know, some pretty fun characters. You really get to explore them, and I mean, they're not shy about letting you go hell bent on some of these characters, especially where they're war games,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. I mean, you go into some of these sessions and you're just yelling when they get to the in battle dialogue. I mean, it's the first one I did of those. I went in and I was belting away and thought, okay, well that's going to be, you know, they're probably going to ask me to bring it down. And the guy was like, yeah, if we could have like about three.
A little more.
that'd be great. All right, great. I'm thinking, I don't think there's anything left, you know? And they kind of like walk out of these sessions like, hi everyone, I'm home. but yeah, no, I mean, I do enjoy it. I mean, it's a different sort of animal because most of the time you're not acting opposite anyone, you know? So it is pretty cold.
Do you feel it's I was just going to ask you that. Do you feel it's difficult to do that because you're not in front of the person that you're interacting with? It's really hard to catch that vibe from. I know as I've done community theater and theater in high school and all throughout when I was younger, and you do get that you feed off of the person that you're acting with. So
absolutely.
For me, it would seem very hard to get that feeling from, you know, acting with yourself.
Yeah, it is a little harder for sure. And I think also the standard of voice acting in video games, you know, seems to be improving, you know, year to year. And certainly it's streets ahead of where it was when, you know, when I was playing video games, you know, years ago kind of thing. And it's, or at least started playing them. And yeah, so I think people would be surprised the amount of attention that's paid to detail in the voices, in voice recording sessions for games. I mean, I think of games like Final Fantasy XII, which I worked on, and that was pretty extensive for me in terms of the game because my character was on 200 odd pages, so there was a lot to do, you know.
Wow. Yeah, and I agree. They have been getting more and more, not just entertainment, not just shoot them up and, you know, knock them down, but more into the story and the plot and the voicing and the voiceovers and the acting has, and even the graphics of the games has grown leaps and bounds from when I started playing on Nintendo. You know,
sure. And I think it's become more cinematic. It's become more filmic in look.
Yes. That's the word I was looking for. It's much more entertainment-based than, oh, okay, I'm playing a game. You really feel like you're drawn into the game.
Absolutely, you know, and they've got to keep people busy for hours and hours and hours. So a lot of these are like, you know, multiple feature films, you know, whereas
mm-hmm.
like a movie only needs to, you know, keep you going for 2 hours. These, you know, people are playing these games for, you know, weeks or longer. So they're really looking for, you know, movie quality, for want of a better word, acting
mm-hmm.
in the voices. So it's definitely not the where I say. I mean, you know, some stuff has screaming. They still want it to be realistic. You know, so it's not
right.
Not so much. I think there's a move away from, you know, what was once perhaps cartoon-ish sounding voices to, you know, to real everyday people. And I think that's you know, that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Now, sorry to interrupt here. I just want to take care of some housekeeping. For those who've just joined us, you are listening to Moonlight Radio. Our guest today is Gideon Emery from Moonlight. Now, Lee Allen just had a question, and she has been asking. She's been waiting very patiently. She wanted to know how you actually got the role of Donovan Shepherd on Moonlight.
I went and auditioned. My agent got me the audition, and I went in and auditioned the first time, and then I got a call back. And they booked me for the job. So yeah, pretty much like most of the stuff I do, you know, it literally there's nothing terribly exciting about it. I'm always happy to get an audition for anything, you know, because I feel in this town that is a victory right there. If you get in the room, then brilliant. And I just
right.
my goal in any audition is just to go in and enjoy myself and mm-hmm. you know obviously. Do my best to deliver the goods, but I also want to have, you know, I want to have a good time, and then basically forget about it when I walk out of the room, because otherwise I'd drive myself crazy.
Okay, but, especially given that the bulk of your acting life is actually auditioning. So.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Because otherwise you would end up being one would end up being a crazy person for sure, a crazy person.
Right.
But
right.
I was lucky. I mean, at my callback, the director. Dennis Smith, he really worked with me and wanted to try some different sort of stuff. And the nice thing was there also in the performance that he let me play around with stuff. Like I wanted this guy to have a bit of a different sort of edgier voice, like a bit of a deeper voice when he turns, you know. So it was nice to be able to play with that kind of stuff. And obviously stuff like, you know, the hair and the makeup and the teeth all, you know, all help.
Now, speaking of the voice, Jess, you have a favor to ask of Gideon, is that right?
I do. The girls and Amy and Ashley and I were talking about what we've been trying to do is put together some promos from all of the guests that have come on from Moonlight and for Moonlight Radio. So if we could convince you to record, hi, this is Gideon Emery, and you're listening to Moonlight Radio, and if you could possibly put Hello, Sweetheart, I See You after it.
How did I know you were going to say that?
They would freak out if you would do that.
Yeah, well, do you want me to do that now?
Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll be quiet, and then whenever you're ready, go ahead, and then we can pull it off of this radio station, clip it, and put it in with the other promos from the other people who've been on.
Okay. Just make sure I'm just saying Moonlight Radio, yeah?
Well, introduce yourself and, you know, you're listening
to
Moonlight.
Yeah, I'll get your...
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to be quiet now, so you can go whenever you want.
Hi. This is Gideon Emery, and you're listening to Moonlight Radio. Hello, sweetheart. I see you.
Thank you so much.
I had to keep quiet. I was.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much.
Now we sound like giggling schoolgirls, Dad.
We do. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be that unprofessional, but that's actually very cool what you can do with your voice, and it's a wonderful talent, actually.
Sorry, it just freaks me out every time.
Gideon, before we lost you earlier, you started to talk about playing the villains. I personally think playing villains are so fun because you have really almost no moral code that you have to live up against, and it's kind of a drag to play the good guy. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. I mean... You know, you just get to play far, far more, you know, to say nothing of the fact that you can kind of do anything. Somehow, I mean, you're forgiven for being a little eccentric or, you know, having little quirks and that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's providing you're with a director who, who you can have a good dialogue with and can go those places. It's I mean, what a treat. What an absolute
mm-hmm.
treat. Yeah, for sure.
And it's so fun because villains are... there are no limits to how unhinged they can be and how out there they can be. I mean, when you're playing a hero or you're playing, somebody who lives to a very strong moral code, they kind of get boring after a while. They're very predictable. When you play a villain, you just have, like, artistic license to just go nuts.
No, completely, completely. I always used to think, because I didn't do a lot of TV in South Africa, but I always thought that if I got onto a TV show in a recurring role, I would just get bored. Because I think one of the reasons I went into acting, apart from the fact that I had this desire to play characters, was that I would never survive in an office job doing the same thing. So I was always scared of getting onto a job, an acting job, where I was playing the same character the whole time. But like you say, if you're playing baddie or something like that, I mean, you can really just have so much fun. If you look at like the guys on Heroes, Zachary Quinto, I mean, how much fun? How much fun must they have? It's great. It's great.
Right. That I love it. I love playing villains, and I thought you would feel the same way. So I'm glad that you have fun with that too. Would you be okay with taking some phone calls for people
Absolutely.
Who have questions? Okay. If anybody needs to give a call in, please feel free to give a call, and Gideon will answer your questions. The phone number is 718-508-9440. RJ, do we have anybody waiting to talk to Gideon?
Not currently, but as I said, I have been having an issue with the switchboard.
Okay.
I still can't hang up those previous calls.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Eventually, we'll figure that out. I think Amy is working on that now. Are there any questions? Because I'm actually at the New York Renaissance Fair, so I have no internet access. Is there any questions in the chat room?
Yeah, but well, basically they were wondering how Gideon had got the role on Moonlight, which, of course, we've already asked that question. But also there was a question that I had. I was wondering, is there anything currently on TV that you wouldn't mind taking a crack at?
What do you mean? What TV show?
Well, a TV series that's going on right now that you think, yeah, I wouldn't mind a role on that. That looks, like a project I would like to be involved in.
Oh, they're a bunch, really, I mean, I'm a big fan of Heroes. I think that would just be too much fun, but they've got their main bad guy, so I don't know. I would have to be something very, very ordinary, I think. it's quite diverse, the stuff I enjoy. I mean, I love Monk. At the moment, I'm going through a bit of a Monk fest, and I'm recording Monk whenever the thing's on. Because I just love the mad sort of quirkiness of him, I think,
Tony Shalhoub's so fantastic, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's just so good. And then at the same time, it does kind of have these little moments where it's moving and touching, So I think they've got a nice little balance there. I mean, I like any show that's I like a lot of these shows where they're character driven and that stuff, where they have real character actors. In the lead. Stuff like Life, I think it's a great show.
Have you seen Big Love on HBO?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a thing for that. Well, the first season I did, the second season I didn't get to see the whole thing, but just Bill Paxton really surprised me, because, he's always been like the action hero and whatever, and to see him playing this man-boy character, he surprised me. So I was really enjoying that for a while there. But in the chat room, Lee Allen 28 actually had a comment, basically saying that that scene where you cut Jerry's throat and drink the blood, that's the only scene that Lee Allen cannot watch. So I guess that one that one was pretty convincing.
All right then.
Now, Dreamer 64 has a question in the web chat. Do you pick and choose your roles, or do you just do roles that you're offered?
I go for whatever I can go for. I wish I was in a position where I could pick and choose, but I'm not. So yeah, I go for whatever whatever I get an audition for, to be quite honest, and they hire me or they don't.
I appreciate your frankness.
Yeah, I mean. I think sort of people. I think people sort of like to perpetuate the myth that they're more
aloof.
Well, no, more of a star is a broad, loose term, but than perhaps they might be. So yeah, I'm like any other of tens of thousands of actors in LA. Where
you want to work, right?
I'll go and audition and go do my thing. In terms of, but the kind of roles that I have been getting in for of late, where I've been brought in, is they are edgier kind of roles, and they are the kinds of things that I do enjoy exploring. So I would love to play something like a Donovan Shepherd, you know, for longer than an episode kind of thing. So I think there's kind of sort of meaty stuff to explore there, and that, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play, but
Now, Ann M was asking what it's like to work with other actors and actresses. I want to narrow that down a little bit and ask you, on the set of Moonlight, which actors did you get to work with the most closely, and what was that experience like?
Well, Alex and Sophia, both of whom are really, really cool. Sophia had her dad there actually on the episode we were shooting, and he was really sweet. Yeah, he was just visiting her on set.
Good grief! So the Moonlight set was like the United Nations.
Pretty much, huh? Yeah, it was real foreign. Foreigners unite. It was kind of fun. Alex is really cool. Got on really, really well with him, you know. And both of them are, you know, generous and down to earth people. Funny enough, I ran into Alex at just a store, you know, a couple weeks later, and I didn't even notice him. And I was there to buy a candle of all things, because I just moved into a new flat or apartment, as we say here. And the place had been painted and was just thinking of paint. So there I am buying this real man's scented candle. And someone goes like, hey.
A man's scented candle? What smell is that?
Yeah. I'm being facetious, yeah. The smell, I suppose, of a man.
More man, would be.
Man scented, as in that was the scent of man. That would be truly, truly creepy. And if there are such candles, I don't want them anywhere near me.
Actually, I didn't even realize that could be taken that way.
I generate my own man scent. Thank you very much. As a side question,
then, because they're going to ask, what fragrance candle did you end up getting? It's all the details,
it's over here now. Let me smell it and see what it is. I don't know. It's like a three-layered thing. The top half looks like it might be vanilla. Hold on. Let me sniff.
Okay. See, this is my quest for serious journalism. Okay.
It is too. It's vanilla / amber / sandalwood, but I haven't gotten through the vanilla.
That's not very girly. That's very cool. I like that. Amber is a wonderful thing.
That is actually quite manly. Anyway,
yes.
Sorry. So you're saying
good
you
job.
Met Alex in the store when you were buying a candle, a very manly thing to be doing.
Yes, as I was buying my man-scented candle, he happened to be in the same aisle, but not buying man-scented candles. And he said hello, so we had a nice chat and stuff, and said we should hook up for a beer sometime. So yeah, no, it was cool. But I didn't meet Jason. No, that's a lie. I did meet Jason the one makeup test day, but only to shake his hand because we didn't have any scenes together. So I didn't get to work with him at all. Yeah.
I think he would be very interesting to work with.
Yeah.
Seeing what he did with his role. And the writing on that show was so fantastic. I mean, when I look at all of the fantastic lines and people that we've spoken with, and Trevor Munson, of course, being one of them, saying that, no, it was pretty much the writers who came up with these really great lines. So I think that Jason was really lucky because he got a lot of the really cool ones.
Look, I mean, it's nice to be that character, to have those sort of little sort of one-offs at the end, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Did you have an opportunity? I mean, I know most of it has been scripted, but did they allow you to kind of give your input into the character and maybe try different things if they were doing more than one take?
A little bit. Funny enough, Dennis, the director, had... Now he wanted me to throw in some reference to something or other after I crashed through the skylight into into Mick's room. They always seem to be breaking into his apartment.
We all noticed that. Yes, we all noticed that. It was very easy to get into Mick's apartment, and we were wondering if he really needed to step up his security measures.
It was pretty, his security seemed to be pretty tight. You know, he had the whole video surveillance thing and like keypad entrance and whatnot. But it seemed that every couple episodes, somebody would be breaking in there. And perhaps if there was one place to keep any potential vampire victim safe, it might be anywhere other than
Mick's place. Yeah. exactly. We did notice that either his apartment was getting broken into, or he was getting his ass kicked for the first half of the fight every time he got involved. So. I think Donovan was the first person he actually, really laid down the whoop ass, I suppose you would say.
A little rough to cut his light off, because that definitely sealed my fate at never being able to return. Vampire sort of folklore and whatnot certainly gives you some leeways in returning, but I think if you lose your head, you're definitely gone. So
yeah, it's a bit finite there.
Yeah.
Actually, in the web chat, we've got some more questions. Tam4771 has asked a number of questions, and I need to get to them, otherwise I'm going to get my wrist slapped. So they wanted to know, Tam wants to know, who is your favorite actor?
My favorite actor would be Gary Oldman.
You are the second person to say that. Jordan said that last week as well. Gary Oldman seems to be a big popular person, and he is an amazing actor.
Oh, my goodness.
I think of, the career he's had, and the fact that he really is a consummate character actor, and the fact that he changes so radically from one role to the next, physically and with the voice and the way he carries himself and stuff. So, yeah, and just really interesting choices. I like the kind of work he does, and also because it's the kind of roles that I would love to sort of sink my teeth into, not to say that there aren't other great actors out there, but yeah, I love him. I also like Tim Roth.
Tim Roth is great.
No, I was just going to say the thing I like about Gary Oldman is he's such a chameleon.
Yeah.
Anyway. Go ahead.
That was pretty much what I was going to say, that, you really, much like your character, you really, sometimes you have to remind yourself, oh, that's Gary Oldman, and you really can't see him at all in any of his roles. It's just, it's the character.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, he's exceptional, he really is. He's a freak that way, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Tam is also asking, what do you prefer, stage or screen?
They're different animals, I mean, I think screen is a lot of fun because you get to, you get to play a little bit more, and then you only, hopefully, they only use that best take kind of thing. So in a way, I suppose it's like theatre where, when I've done stage shows, inevitably there's one night, during the week that, you should have come last night, Last night we really, really nailed it kind of thing. But I mean, they're different. I like stage because of the immediacy of it and the fact that it is kind of dangerous and exciting because anything might happen. And also I do enjoy the journey of it, that it is a continuous thing, whereas 90 minutes or 2 hours or, however long the play might be. Whereas, when you're working on a film, it's so fragmented and you're shooting out of sequence and oftentimes you're shooting the end, the sort of culmination of your little journey as a character on, the first couple of days you're filming. So you've got to do, a lot of your you've got to do all your homework before day one, but it's definitely tricky doing that sort of thing. But they're different. They're sort of appealing in their own way. But I haven't done theatre for a while, actually. So once in a while, like RJ was saying, I definitely have the pangs of wanting to do, wanting to sort of get up on stage and do something. But yeah.
I don't know whether you heard in the background there, we just got this really loud crash of thunder and I yelped, so sorry.
I didn't hear it at all. In fact, all I heard was quiet, and I thought I'd lost you again.
No, we're still here, We're having an issue with the phone line again. Unfortunately, what's happening is people are trying to call in and they're getting a busy signal, as you did. So I do apologize to our listeners for that. It's the Moonlight Radio Gremlins again.
Yes. And now we've determined that it's not just Amy, Ashley, and I, because now you are hosting as well with us, and it's still happening. So it is actually the radio show that is cursed. We always have technical difficulties, and it's just this show. So, because we do several other shows on different topics, and we've never had this many technical difficulties.
All right. Well, at least as long as it's consistently inconsistent, then
exactly.
Then,
yes, it keeps it. It keeps us on our toes. So that, you know, it's never dull.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there other questions in the chat room?
Yeah, I'm actually, right now we've got someone from Blog Talk Radio here, and they're asking what issues we have, so I'm busily typing here in the chat while you guys are talking.
Okay.
Pam did ask, Gideon, when did you first decide that you wanted to get into acting? And then I would add to that, was there a particular catalyst or a defining moment when you just suddenly decided, this is it?
I attribute my love of acting from being an only child, basically. So I kind of kept myself amused, you know, imitating voices from TV and the radio when I was a kid.
Have you always wanted to act?
Pretty much, you know. I mean, I acted in school plays and that sort of thing. And ultimately, you know, in my sort of final year of school, it was a decision because I've always enjoyed drawing and painting. It was a choice between doing fine arts or acting, studying them, you know. And I kind of went with acting, and
and I've been happy ever since.
Now, how did your parents react to that? I mean, when you finally told them that this is what you wanted to do, did they say, you know, that's real good, Gideon, but you kind of have to get a real job, or were they really supportive?
My parents have always been supportive. I mean, my mom especially was, you know, you've got to do something you love. You know, you've got to do something you're passionate about. And I think my dad was, you know, a bit more sensible and was like, well, you know, you're sure this is what you want to do, but all right. But when I was sort of my final year of drama school, I started making money doing voiceovers. And then I think he saw that, all right, he can support himself doing this. Oh, all right then, you know, and he's my biggest fan, and you know, is always
Aww.
Always sort of cutting out clippings and stuff and that sort of thing. I was very fortunate in the parents I chose, you see.
In the parents you chose. Yeah.
You chose. Gideon, we have a caller. Just a moment, I'm bringing them on. 610, you're on the air with Gideon Emery.
Yes, hi. I can't believe I got through because I kept getting a busy signal. This is Moonlight Sonata, and I wanted to ask Gideon how he goes about switching from his natural accent to accents on different shows. I just find that very fascinating, and I don't really understand how people do that.
I think, you know, like I say, when I was growing up, I used to listen a lot to radio and try to imitate stuff. So I think I was kind of training my ear, if you like, from when I was a kid. And then maybe it's also, I think it's something of a musical ear because I also sing and I enjoy singing a cappella. I used to sing with an a cappella group in South Africa. And I think, you know, if you've got a bit of an ear for it, and obviously you can train to get better at it, but I think I'm just fortunate that I can hear something and sort of latch onto the keys of it. And obviously, you know, it takes practice. I mean, I thought I had a pretty decent standard American accent when I was in South Africa, and then I moved here and quickly discovered that actually people say avocado instead of avocado, which I would have pronounced it, you know, odd little sort of words and bits and pieces. But I mean, also, it's kind of something that interests me. I think, although I'm shamefully not multilingual in African languages, which I could be, I do also find, you know, languages pretty pretty interesting, and accents. I just have so much fun doing different accents, and for some reason, people see me as being Russian or Slavic a fair amount of the time. So I seem to have found myself playing Russian roles here and there. So I've gotten to play with that, and it's something I've enjoyed doing, and I've done it for, I suppose, since I was a kid. But born really out of just keeping myself amused, I suppose. Free entertainment. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So
you were really scared. You were one of the scarier characters ever on Moonlight.
Well, thanks for that.
In terms of quitting, in terms of possible nightmares. But thank you very much. I'll free up the line so maybe somebody else.
Oh, that's a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you so much for calling. Okay, we have an international caller. You are on the air with Gideon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is the Moonlight fan. I just want to say a big hello from the UK at first. And I was just wanting to know, what was your most memorable role?
That's a good question, you know. I would say, I mean, in terms of the work I've done since I've been in the States, definitely, you know, Donovan Shepherd would be it, you know, just because I got to play so much, you know, and plus, you know, really sort of sink my teeth, all puns intended, into a real bad guy, you know. And it's not often you get to play that much, and ordinarily, I mean, in when you're starting out, you know, you're getting little roles and these sorts of things. And when I started work on movies, I was always playing, you know, really sort of small supporting roles. So you don't get to, first off, you don't get the kinds of roles where you can go those sort of places. They're more roles which are just sort of forwarding the plot along, you know. So they're very run-of-the-mill, for want of a better word, generic characters, although obviously, you know, they don't need to be played that way. But stuff like, like Donovan Shepherd was just so much fun. I mean, I got to be a death row inmate bad guy, and then I got to be a vampire. I mean, you know, where do you go after there, really? So, without being sort of disappointingly, disappointing, I would say that would be it, you know.
Do you like playing the bad guys?
I do, you know, I do, and I'm like I was saying earlier on, I seem to get in more for those kinds of roles now. But I think the bad guy is definitely fun, but otherwise something where, you know, a character where he, you know, he can be perhaps a little bit scheming, or I wouldn't mind doing some more comedy, to be honest, because I started out doing stand-up comedy, and I haven't done any comedy for a while, so something where there was. Although you can obviously have, and I always like to kind of give a little bit of a sense of humor to the roles I play, you know, and I think there's definitely a wry smile to the baddies. It would be fun to do something where it's more, you know, typically straight comedy. I think that might be something to change it up, yeah.
Yeah, on the chat room, they're actually asking for samples of the different voices you can do.
A sample of different voices? I don't really want to be a performing parrot.
I was thinking of a performing chimp, actually. That's why I didn't ask the question.
Is it easy
to just say, oh, you know, start doing different voices?
Well, I could, but, you know, then I become self-conscious, you see, and then I have to go, well, actually, that wasn't really an American accent, and I didn't think, actually, that Gideon was really doing that. So, I don't know.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that you started in stand-up comedy, because actually there's a lot of people that are texting the phone that I'm actually talking on, and everything I'm hearing is, he's so funny. And I was actually going to ask you that, if you liked doing comedy, if that would be something that you would want to do in, you know, in the future, like a comedic role as opposed to drama or, you know, voiceover, things like that, an actual comedy.
No, for sure. I mean, I think a sitcom would be a lot of fun, you know. And especially when, I mean, you think of, I mean, you know, shows like Friends and whatever, where the writing is so very good, but it also, I mean, the casting is just brilliant at the same time. It's, you know, can you imagine anyone else playing any of those characters?
Right.
So I think, yeah, it would be a lot of fun to be on a sitcom, definitely.
Yeah, I better say bye now. We're up the line to someone else.
Thank you so much for calling.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Whenever we have an international caller, I like to try and get them on fairly quickly because they're just sitting there on hold waiting for us. So that was so kind of her to call in. Okay, we've got some red faces in the chat room. They're feeling bad that they asked you to do the accents now.
Look, I will say they can always go to GideonEmery.com and listen to my animation reel. And there they can listen to some of the voices, but yeah.
Okay, we'll provide a link in the chat room for that. Well, we do appreciate your time today, Gideon. Are there any upcoming projects that we should know about or things that we need to look out for?
Well, yeah, there's a couple things. In keeping with the bad guy theme, I worked recently on this show called The Middleman.
Oh, I've heard of that, yeah.
Which is ABC Family. It's kind of a little bit like Men in Black, but it's a guy and a girl team, and they go off busting sort of strange otherworldly things and whatnot. I'm a sort of a bit of a baddie on that. I'm playing Vlad the Impaler.
Keeping that vampire theme going on there.
Exactly. Yes, that's on Monday week on the 18th. Most of the time, actually, I'm just a ventriloquist dummy, so it's just my voice, but I'm this sort of demonically possessed ventriloquist dummy. So that was a bit of fun, and that's coming up soon. And then also I worked on a great movie, an independent movie called Greetings from the Shore, and it's pretty much a coming-of-age drama, and lead actress there, Kim Shaw, she's just fabulous, and I was basically one of this band of foreigners. She ends up going to the Jersey Shore for a summer job before heading off to college, and ends up teaching English to these foreign busboys. You know, and falls in love, and you know, it's a sweet coming of age story. And Paul Sorvino's in it. David Fumero is the love interest, and I'm a Russian again in this one of the old busboys. But this is coming out. It's going to be coming out. When is it now? In the next next month, it's going to be coming out, and it's going to be definitely on the East Coast. So definitely look out for that. It's called Greetings from the Shore, and there's also a website, greetingsfromtheshore.com, where you can find out a little bit more about that. But and then, yeah, otherwise there's Train, a horror movie I did, shot in Bulgaria last year, and that should be coming out hopefully towards the end of the year if they do. And there, actually, I'm not a bad guy in that, funny enough.
Nice.
So yeah. So maybe there's no reason to watch me at all, or maybe there's every reason. I don't know.
Oh, it would be nice to see you in another role. I think most of the people who are fans of Moonlight have really become fans of all of the actors of the show themselves. And you know, it seems to me that we have a lot of respect for everybody who's given their all during the show, and because of that, we've been introduced to so many new faces that we didn't previously know before. Not that they're new, but that we weren't aware of them. And because of that, we've sort of been following a lot of people. And you know, certainly you would be included in that group of people that we would be following. So it's very interesting to us to know what's going on going forward as well, because you have a lot of loyal people out there that will sort of keep track of that and watch your different roles.
No, well, that's great. Well, thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure chatting to you.
Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you so much.
And just quickly, Gideon, Ange M has found a men's scented candle on eBay. It's called Survivor.
Survivor?
It's called Survivor. Men's scented jar candle. Survivor is what it's called.
Wonderful.
I have
I'll be logging on and buying them out as soon as I am.
Thank you so much for your time, and we will be watching with great interest to see what else that you do next.
All right. Thank you.
And I look forward to talking to you on the 20th.
we'll catch you then.
Thanks so much, Gideon.
All right, absolute pleasure. Take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was wonderful.
That was fun. That was very fun. I actually had a question to ask him and totally went out of my brain as soon as he started talking about the things that he was doing coming up. And it was a good one, too, and I just can't remember what it was.
Well, you know what? At 2 in the morning, it will come back to you. So John,
it will, and I'll email it to you so you can ask him on the next show.
Because, of course, a lot of the questions
you used up some of your questions.
Asking him,
Right.
asked today.
Right. So I'll have to think of a whole slew of new questions for you so you have something to ask when he calls in.
But that's okay, because we can talk about other stuff that we didn't get to talk about today. So
Right. And I do have to ask, because I've been talking in accent all day. I can't tell if I'm still kind of talking that way or not, so I'm trying not to say much in case I come off with this horrible English accent.
No.
Okay.
Perfectly normal.
Okay, good. It's very hard for me, like when they were talking about switching back and forth from accents. Sometimes, you know, after the show closes at 7 o'clock at night, we've been talking for 12 hours in really bad Monty Python accents, and all of a sudden, you know, you wind up talking like that after hours, and it's just too funny. I've actually picked up the phone several times, and, you know, when hanging up with somebody, you know, fairly well, and, you know, thank thee and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of embarrassing sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't realize you're doing it.
He's actually very funny. I can see now the whole
stand-up thing. He's hysterical. Yeah, he's hysterical. By the way, for people who are listening, if I'm on the phone, it's usually my cell phone on the radio. So if you're going to text me, can you wait till after the show to text me? Because I usually wind up getting like beep, 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 and I don't know if, like, when I'm looking at the text messages, if it's an emergency or not. So unless it's an emergency and I'm on the air, please don't text message me. Because I got a couple of them so far while I was on the air, and I couldn't tell when I was hitting the buttons if it was coming over on the air.
I'm just reading the chat. Moonlit London said that she was a pirate at work on Friday and spent the whole day in an accent, so...
Yeah, arg.
I want to know where she was a pirate. Where is it that
well,
she works?
She works at Legoland in England. So I don't know where, but I think London. She works. Moonlit London. She works in Legoland. It's like Disneyland.
Oh my goodness.
She was telling us that I think last Sunday, the episode before the broadcast, right before Jordan, because he was supposed to come on at 5 and then he had an emergency. So we were broadcasting for like 4 hours that day. And while we were kind of filling time, she had called in and she was telling us that she works in Legoland.
Oh my goodness. See,
she has an amazingly fun job.
This is interesting. All this time, I just didn't know what a creative bunch Moonlight fans are.
Oh, I remember what the question was. I remember what the question was, because one of the questions that Pam had asked, Gothmith had asked last week to Jordan was that, you know, Alex plays guitar and Jason is taking piano lessons, and we were wondering if Gideon plays a specific instrument, if, you know, what his art musical, if he has any other artistic endeavors that he goes through. I know he mentioned drawing, but we were wondering specifically if he had any musical talent as well.
Well, I thought he said he sings.
Oh, did he say that? I missed
it.
Yeah,
he said that earlier in the show, that he sings.
Oh, wonderful. Well, he'd have to with a voice like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
he's very much a chameleon, just like it's funny that he picked Gary Oldman for that same characteristic, and I can see, well, you know, that's his favorite actor, and he very much not emulates, but he tends to do the same things with his characters as well.
Yeah, and I just had a thought, wouldn't it be cool to get like a whole bunch of these chameleon-like actors together, like, you know, Tim Roth, Gary Oldman, Gideon Emery, get them together in a like a TV series, and then put someone like Chris Carter or J.J. Abrams into the mix, or even Trevor Munson
right.
in the mix. Wouldn't that be so fantastic? And maybe they could be like some sort of a bunch of crusading misfits.
The Dungeons and Dragons gone wrong.
There you go. So, Trevor, if you're listening, not that I think you are, but if you are listening, there's an idea.
He does listen, actually, sometimes. So, Trevor, if you're listening, and his mom sometimes listens, so.
Right.
This is Munson. If you're hearing this, you know, get your son on it. We need to see more stuff from him.
Right. So, 610 is on the line again. Hang on. Let me
okay.
Come on.
Hi. I don't get to listen that much, but I was just curious about something.
Mm-hmm.
RJ, where are you calling from?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay, but you're from another country originally.
That's right, yeah, from Britain and then spent a big chunk of time in Australia.
Oh, okay. Well, the other thing I was curious about, and it might have been mentioned on Moonlight Line, is how you go about getting the people to appear on the show, to call into the show.
Oh, my gosh, it takes so much work.
It does.
It's practically a full-time job, I'm telling you. It is basically a full-time job. It's making lots and lots of phone calls and lots
following
of emails
up.
Back and forth, and it's a major undertaking. So,
kind of makes you appreciate the PR business, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And where do you get the contact information from?
Well, that's another thing. It's like a treasure hunt, basically. But, you know, you can check it out on, like, Internet Movie Database. That's probably a good place to start. But beyond that, it's a lot of phone calls and then, you know, asking questions and then getting, one lead that leads to another lead, which leads to another lead. And then you might finally get to talk to someone who is dealing directly with the person that you're looking to get on. But, you know, there's a bit of luck involved as well. But it's mainly a lot of persistence and hard work and it's
repetitive.
The fact that's why we decided to join forces in getting guests on, because basically both shows were going through the same thing to try and get on the guests. So it was easier. I said, you know what, all right, I'll just approach the guests for both shows.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I've been doing.
So you were having Gideon on again on your show.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I mean, it's been a bit of potluck as to who gets the guest first, because it depends on when they're available. So it's a case of I've been approaching them for both shows, and then it's, you know, well, which dates can you do? So it was a case of he was available for this show first, so he got to be on this show first, and then he'll be on mine on the 20th, I think it is.
Oh, okay, that's great. I was sorry I missed the show last Sunday, but I think I was away visiting my mother or something. So I would have liked to have, I didn't realize the show was going to be delayed until the show was over. I would have called in I would have listened in at least for that. I feel privileged for the shows I have been able to listen to. It seems sometimes the times don't work out. Either they're too late or sometimes, you know, I'm just not here then. But I was wondering if you were calling in from England. That was the thing.
No.
Cause I was thinking then it was like a godforsaken time over there, I guess. It's like the middle of the night. But then you were mentioning the thunder and everything. So, my daughter lives outside Boston. So, okay, well, thanks. I was just curious about a few things. Thank you.
No problem. Actually, we've got an international caller on the line, I believe.
Okay.
Just a second here, bear with me. All right. You're on the air? International caller, you're on the air? Oh.
Hello?
Hello? You're live on the air. Can you hear me?
No. Maybe they were just trying to listen.
Oh, maybe. All right. And we just had someone else, and then they just hung up again, so.
Right.
Oh, well. But, that was a good question about the guests, simply because it is a major undertaking. But anyway. All right. Well, the show was originally supposed to go for 2 hours. Is that your background noise, Jess?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
No, no problem. No problem at all. All right. We were supposed to go for 2 hours, but I had thought at first wondering if you were going to call in or not, that it would be an abbreviated version of the show today, 90 minutes.
Right. Yes, and if nobody else is calling in, I really do have to get back
to
the show.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap this up with our favorite song, Give Them Blood, and don't forget to tune in next week to Moonlight Radio. Now, just quickly, let's do a recap of all the shows you have this week.
Yes. Well, we have tomorrow is the Golden Girls at 10 o'clock Eastern, and the Golden Gals, excuse me. And then Wednesday is your show at 11. Mm-hmm. And do you have a guest on the...
Mr. Jordan Belfi is going to join.
Oh, that's right. That's the second helping of Jordan.
Yeah, for those of you who enjoyed the show last Sunday with Jordan, you have a chance for a second serving. So for those of you who didn't call in and who had questions, it's the perfect opportunity for you to call in and ask him those questions. So
right.
Yes, Jordan Belfi on Wednesday at 11 p.m.
Right. And if you get a chance at some point, can you apologize to him for us being horribly screaming fangirls on the phone with him? We were so nervous. I don't know why. We talked to so many different people, and he was the one that made us the most nervous. I think it was because that was the first time that we've actually had a guest on where we had a major issue with technical difficulties.
Right.
So it kind of all put us on nervous energy, and we're all giggling like idiots, but we apologize. That's Wednesday. Friday is usually our Moonlight Game Night on Moonlight Radio. And then again, you know, Sunday is just another broadcast. For those people who are listening who like other shows, there's Sean O'Max TV Talk. He has some interesting things about TV and all things entertainment. He has a daily show between 6 and 7:30.
Just quickly, we do have a caller. Hang on.
Okay.
All right, is this Moonlit London?
Yeah, hello.
Oh,
sorry,
hello.
Guys. I was just checking to see if it worked, and of course it doesn't work the entire time I'm trying to call into Gideon, but once Gideon's off the phone, it works. I was like,
make sure that you send RJ your questions via email and PM, and she'll make sure
that.
That
24. Yeah. And I was... Yeah, it was really cheesy, not really important.
Yeah, a bit choppy.
You're a bit choppy there.
I think the weather is playing.
I have a feeling the phone.
I think we're losing her signal.
She sounds
like
Ashley.
Phone.
Is it Ashley who has the phone issue?
Yeah. I'm usually pretty good about it.
That's right. Anyway, Mindy in the web chat just said the phones are fixed. Apologies for the inconvenience. So at the end of our show, the phone's enough.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to BTR Jason for helping us. Is everybody okay?
All right. We are going to go ahead and wrap up the show now. I know it is a little bit early, but obviously this was important for me. And Jess is working. So
yes.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you so much, RJ, for everything. And we really appreciate it. You saved our butts.
This has been fun. All right, talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Just to remind you, you have been listening to Moonlight Radio. The archive will be available probably in a couple of hours, so you can certainly go back and listen to anything that you may have missed. And again, I would like to thank Gideon Emery so much for being such an adaptable guest when he realized that Amy, Ashley, and Jess would not be hosting today. Luckily, Jess was able to join us. We obviously send out our sincere condolences and prayers to Amy and her family. And Ashley, please get well soon, okay? All right, so do keep in mind the different shows that are coming up. And obviously I'm going to shamelessly plug Moonlight Buzzwire Radio and let you know that Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, we will be having Jordan Belfi as our guest. Thanks so much again, everyone, and let's give them blood.
Your complete cooperation. Send your roses when they think you need a smile. I can't control myself because I don't know how. When they love me for it, honestly, I'll be here for a while. So give them blood, blood, gallons of the stuff. Give them all that they can drink, and it will never be enough. So give them blood, blood, blood. Grab a glass, because there's going to be a flood. A celebrated man amongst the gurneys. They can fix me proper with a bit of luck. The doctors and the nurses, they adore me so. But it's really quite alarming, 'cause I'm such an awful fuck. I gave you blood, blood, gallons of the stuff. I gave you all that you can drink, and it has never been enough. I gave you blood, blood, blood.